Random House Audio presents The Terrible, a storyteller's memoir by Yersa Daly Ward with Howard Daly Ward as Rue. This is the author, Yersa Daly Ward. For Little Rue. In love with how it happened so far, even the terrible things. And God, there were terrible things. Prologue. My little brother and I saw a unicorn in the garden in the late 90s. I'm telling you, neither one of us made it up. It was as real as anything else. Sometimes, when the world around us grew indistinct, when facts would blur into less certain truths and frightening things looked set to occur, the two of us could see clearly into the fourth dimension. So when Linford James was on a ladder at midnight, banging on the bedroom windows, shouting at Mum, and later, when the colour in his throat deepened and they were nose to nose, neither one of them spotted the unicorn. Adults went about their lives missing beauty all the time. Little Rue was 6. I was 10. The unicorn strode a couple of majestic laps of the garden before vanishing completely into the rosebush. The fourth dimension was our only explanation for this. We weren't dreaming. That night, Mum called the police. The next evening, Linford was sleeping in her bed again, snoring the walls down in his frightening manner. The unicorn wasn't the only strange thing. Living in Chorley, up in the north, we were closer to the sky than most. What luck. Little Rue often saw things written in the stars. Signs, facts, and other things. I'm telling you. He knew why adults said the things they said, and why they didn't mean the things they said, and even less what they did. Sometimes it wasn't answers that he found, but entirely perfect questions. A genius, my little brother. Marcia Daly Ward, aka Mum, had a slim waist in the very beginning, soft hair, a gorgeous smile, pearly arcs, those teeth, shining church doors. Marcia had smiling eyes. Loose hips, could dance as well as anyone on television, lived with her grandparents in Kingston, Jamaica, and she was oh so kind, had some art about her. When told to go into the woods to choose a branch with which her grandfather would beat her little brother for some tiny offence, chose a weak branch that came apart in her grandfather's hand and earned a beating too. Marcia was 14 and still skinny when she flew over to England, alone and terrified with a baby in her belly. The boyfriend at that time was not the baby's daddy, but none of that mattered because everything was about to change. She had been sent for, finally, by her mother and would be as far away from all of these men as God would allow. She trembled when stepping off the plane. She was about to see her parents for the first time in years. How would she tell them? How would she explain? Marcia is 16, with screaming baby Samson in the northwest of England. What a mess. And he's only getting bigger. A real-life mini-man, the sum of several fears. Growing and growing faster than she can handle. She curses the Lord above. Marcia's parents step in. Especially when little Samson rides his small tricycle all the way to Grandma's just to get away from Marcia and her mood swings. They raise him like a son, never mind a grandson. He even calls them Mum and Dad, leaves Marcia's title blank. Alone, Marcia trains to be a nurse. So, soon, Marcia, the student nurse, is 26. The man she loves is a dark, beautiful scholar with some height to him, some education, and a wife and family in Nigeria. Guinness is his drink. He'll be the last one to leave the pub, the last one home, and, most every night, he turns toward her with those irresistible glazed eyes, black shining. So she can't stay angry, even if she tries. But his other home calls, and the academic year ends, and their time will soon be up. He knows and she knows that he will not stay. But they make a child anyway. Y-R-S-A, she says. Yersa. I like the sound of that. One. A. Read to me, Mummy would say. And boy, she and I read. We read our lives out, right from the very beginning. Hot, thick worlds with ladybirds and puffins on their spines. Watery, cool, mountainous, whole wide worlds. Why didn't anyone help the little red hen make food? Or why was the cat so naughty? And Mummy would point at the picture of the cat who wouldn't behave. The angry, frowning cat, sitting, arms folded, in the corner. It's because he needs love, she would say. It's only because he's frightened. Why did the lion scream over my dead body when someone tried to give away his comb? Why did he bellow, frightening the entire jungle? It's because he needs things, she would say. The lion is lonely and vain. Mummy was soft, warm milk soft. And everything written in our paper worlds made hot, small sense. B. She lifts me up onto the kitchen counter. The child is so, so gifted. She's reading already. Well, hear for yourself. And way before school. Yes, quite. Kids can do anything, you know. It's all in teaching them early. Just look and see how easily she forms the words. She smiles at me. Her eyes like honey, bronze shining. You're my supernova, says she, my thrilling, bright explosion. Marcia is 30, loves Linford but feels bereft of something. A friend, Sonny his name, stays overnight again. And when her little girl comes to the door, she ushers her out quickly. Go back to bed, says she. See you in the morning, baby girl. I love you. Then she lies back, a hand on her stomach, wondering what time it will be this dark morning when Sonny the friend will make his excuses and disappear off into the town. Somewhere inside her, little Rue is beginning, and nobody knows yet but God. A red home. We moved house. Linford is Mum's boyfriend, and we are staying at his place right now. It is a two-up, two-down in Warrington. Linford's house is under construction, but getting there. At first it is exciting, moving to this half-built red brick house with red floors. An almost house. A house nearly on the corner of the street. The kitchen floor tiles bother me because they're all scratched and uneven, and I think there might be germs there. I have a baby brother these days. I call him Little Roo because he is what older people call hyperactive and likes to skip hop around, kangaroo style. Linford is a travelling...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?